In a world where magic is both feared and weaponized, the nation of Ravka stands at a precipice. King Nikolai Lantsov, charming and brilliant but harboring a literal demon inside him, faces threats from all sides. Fyerda prepares for war in the north, the Shu Han plot in the east, and a mysterious blight of dead, ashy soil spreads across the countryside, reminiscent of the collapsed shadow fold that once divided the nation. As if these challenges weren't enough, a pretender calling himself Little Lantsov threatens Nikolai's claim to the throne, supported by the manipulative religious leader known as the Apparat. What makes this moment truly perilous? The Darkling, an immortal shadow summoner who once terrorized Ravka, has been resurrected in the body of a young monk named Yuri. Though imprisoned in Osalta, his very existence represents an existential threat to everything Nikolai has built. Meanwhile, General Zoya Nazialensky, a fierce Grisha with command over wind and storms, struggles to protect her king while denying her growing feelings for him. Their world teeters on the edge of annihilation, and the choices they make will determine not just who rules, but whether anything remains to rule at all. In Fyerda, Nina Zenik poses as Widow Mila, staging miracles to undermine Commander Brum's anti-Grisha regime. The Wellmother, revealing herself as a fellow Grisha spy, tasks Nina with finding evidence against Ravka's false throne claimant. Nina connects with Hanna Brum, the commander's daughter, hiding both Grisha powers and discomfort with femininity. The Druskul don't understand that faith can be a kind of freedom, Nina tells her. They navigate Fjerdan society through Jurjanik, the tradition presenting young women for marriage. In Shuhan, Princess Eri counters her sister Queen Maki's treachery by choosing visibility as protection, appearing at markets armed only with a musical instrument, launching a revolution from within. Each spy balances dual identities. Nina undermines Fyerda while playing pious, Hanna performs femininity while identifying as male, and Eri acts dutiful while plotting against her sister. Their power stems from being underestimated. What would you sacrifice for the power to save everything you love? This question haunts each character facing impossible choices. When Nikolai reveals he can control the shadow demon inside him, Zoya watches the dark, winged creature materialize and touch her face with surprising gentleness. Power makes monsters of us all, Nikolai reflects. The question is, what kind of monsters we choose to be? During a Fjordan bombing raid, Nikolai unleashes the demon to tear through enemy aircraft, yet maintains enough control to spare one pilot who will return with tales of the Demon King. Zoya's power transforms when she embraces the ancient dragon within her. She realizes power and love aren't magical solutions, but a single, fragile thread strengthened through connection. As the dragon, she attacks as a scaled, winged creature wielding lightning. The most horrific price appears in Shu Han's Kurgood program, where Grisha become weapons through painful experiments. When Mayu finds her twin Rayum, now a Kurgood, he describes having died 1,000 times, his humanity nearly erased for military ambitions. Nikolai returns to find Osalta devastated by Fjordan bombs, the little palace partially destroyed. He discovers Genya in her wedding gown, frantically searching the rubble for David. At the lakeside funeral, as flames consume David's body, Genya can only say, "I loved him and he loved me," before breaking down, a stark reminder of victory's terrible cost. Nina, undercover in Fyerda, feels hollowed learning about the bombing. Days earlier, she'd maintained her Mila persona while Brahm and others celebrated the attack, forcing herself to smile through grief. Even amid war, personal connections become both vulnerability and strength. Nina and Hani's relationship remain secret and precarious. In this world of conflict, personal happiness becomes a luxury, yet these connections provide the reason they continue fighting. Those built for war rarely get to keep what they love. Identity transforms throughout this story both literally and profoundly. When Prince Rasmus strikes Hana during an argument, she defends herself with her Grisha power, accidentally killing him and assuming his identity through her tailoring ability. When Nina discovers the truth, Hana confesses everything, revealing that despite her guilt, she feels a rightness in this male body she never experienced before. Nina pledges to stay with her beloved in Fjerda, helping her rule as prince and eventually king, two Grisha secretly guiding Fjerda toward peace with Hrafnka. Zoya's transformation comes when she embraces the dragon's power, returning with extraordinary black scale armor that shimmers blue, evidence of her evolution into Hrafnka's future queen. Nikolai confronts his parentage when he meets Magnus Opscher, his true father. Rather than clinging to false legitimacy, he embraces this truth to forge a new path. These transformations reveal identity as fluid, shaped by choices as characters become who they're meant to be. What makes a true leader? When Nikolai's legitimacy is challenged by pretender Vadik Demidov, he faces an existential threat. If he's not the true Lansoff heir, what right does he have to rule? A crown is merely a hat that lets the rain in, Nikolai quips, masking deeper doubts. Yet when given the option to use devastating weapons against civilians, he refuses, despite Fjerda bombing his capital. Leadership means knowing when not to use power. Zoya never sought to rule, despite being a brilliant general. When Nikolai declares, "Let the Nazi-Zelensky dynasty begin," she protests. "I wasn't made to be a queen, I was made to be a weapon." Yet when challenged about her Suli heritage, Zoya finds her voice. Her outsider perspective as a Grisha woman of Suli descent is exactly what Hrafnka needs. True leadership comes not from wanting power, but understanding how to use it wisely. The ultimate example comes when the Darkling volunteers to eternally hold closed a tear in the universe. After centuries seeking dominance, his sacrifice suggests the greatest leadership may be knowing when to step aside. On Zoya's coronation day, the great chapel in Os Alta, once the site of the Darkling's violence, becomes a place of new beginnings. She wears a dark blue gown with silver dragon scales and a titanium and sapphire crown shaped like dragon's wings, symbolizing transformation. Dignitaries gather from across nations, Shu princesses representing Eri and Queen Maki's joint rule, Kirch merchants, and most surprisingly, Fjerdan royalty, including Crown Prince Rasmus, secretly Hane, with Nina as his future bride. This assembly showcases remarkable change. Hrafnka with a Grisha queen of Suli heritage, Fjerda secretly led by a Grisha who presents as male, and Shu Han beginning reforms. Zoya confides about her nightmares of becoming like the Darkling, believing Sankt Felix's heart might free him without reopening the breach. "Even monsters deserve mercy," she suggests. As the blight recedes and new growth emerges, the true rule of wolves proves to be about connection despite loss, not dominance. Though perfect happiness remains elusive, hope persists like the first green shoots after winter.